Welcome to the Rooted Youth Ministry Podcast, which aims to advance gospel-centered youth ministry by equipping and empowering youth ministers and parents to faithfully disciple students towards lifelong faith in Jesus Christ. The Rooted Youth Ministry Podcast is part of the Rooted family of podcasts, which also includes the Rooted Parent Podcast, Ask Alice, and Thanos to Theos. To learn more, visit www.rootedministry.com. I'm your host, Davis Lacey. It's Tuesday morning at the Gospel Coalition's 2021 conference, and so enthusiasm of being able to be in the same room together is palpable. You can hear some voices behind us. They're probably not quite as loud as they were yesterday. Caffeine is a little bit more of a needed thing this morning than it was yesterday morning. I'll say that. But I've got a shot in the arm of energy because I am joined today on the Rooted Youth Ministry Podcast by Dr. Dave Harvey. Dave, welcome to the Rooted Youth Ministry Podcast.
Great to be here, Davis. Thanks for having me.
You're so welcome. Thanks for joining us. How's the conference been for you so far?
Well, I just arrived last night because we had a situation with our flight that rerouted me to another city that I had to drive over. So I'm just kind of officially plugging in this morning. So little disoriented and still not caffeinated.
Well, We can fix both of those things. We can fix both of those things.
I welcome
things.
That.
We'll try to get you a cup of coffee here in just a little bit. We'll see what
you.
We can do. Y'all, if you're not familiar with Dave's ministry, he serves as the president of Great Commission Collective, which is a church planting ministry in the U.S., Canada, and abroad. In his 33 years of ministry, is that still correct, 33?
34.
34 years of ministry, Dave was president of the Sojourn Network. He oversaw church planting, church care, and international outreach for Sovereign Grace Churches. He was a lead pastor for 19 years and has pastored for a total of 34 years. Married for a total of 37 years. Is that still correct?
38.
38. This is just a year out of date.
I should have updated the bio.
You. That's okay. That's all right. Dave and his wife, Kim, have four kids, four grandkids, and live in Southwest Florida. He's the author of many books, one of which we're going to be talking about today called Am I Called? And just as a personal note, Am I Called was instrumental in my own discernment of stepping into vocational, specifically pastoral ministry. So thank you, brother, for your book, for its impact on my life, and thank you for the impact you're going to have on our listeners today.
Well, I'm so glad it was helpful to you, and I hope it's helpful to those that are listening.
I think it will be. So in that line, give us a big picture overview of your book, Am I Called? Not just the contents of the book, but really the burden behind the book. Why did you write it? Who did you write it for? What's really your hope and goal behind the book?
Yeah, I wrote it because I figured there were guys out there that were just like me. They had a strong stirring for something in ministry, newly converted. I think I was 2 or 3 years after conversion. I began feeling these stirrings, feeling these desires. Didn't know how to articulate them. I didn't have a path forward, didn't really know what to do with them. And the church that I was involved in was of some help, but also didn't necessarily know. And so I realized, oh my goodness, you know, not only are there a lot of people out there that are like that, but if we don't find a way to help to define that for them and to create tracks for them, then they could become potentially frustrated. And then the church just, you know, doesn't move them forward in important ways. So I think there's that. I think there's also pastors out there that desperately want to know what to do with guys that they see who may be legitimately called to ministry and don't necessarily know how to evaluate that, how to assess that. And so what this book was just some simple diagnostics built around six simple questions that somebody could ask themselves and then ask their pastors or leaders of the church to weigh in on that would help them to move forward.
Love it, and it was helpful in my own life. I'd love to spend time for you today just addressing something that I think happens maybe not super frequently but not inconsistently in many of our student ministries, and that is that we're in student ministry, we're in the trenches, and at some point a student comes up to us and say, hey, I think God's calling me to ministry. And that can be a variety of different positions on church staffs or even parachurch ministry staffs, but oftentimes it's someone saying, I think God's calling me to pastor Christ's church. So what's helpful in that moment to say and do, just right as a student's opening up to about these things? Maybe what's not helpful? What course of action would you recommend us not taking? How do we handle that initial moment of openness and exploration?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it is interesting how specifically 1 Timothy 3:1 addresses that question. So if anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble thing. So what we know from that is that there are some that God is going to inspire within them a desire, an aspiration, and that aspiration that they desire is a noble thing. And so we can certainly affirm the nobility of the desire. So automatically that puts the pastor or the leader on the footing of being able to affirm something within somebody that's coming, that's a good thing. It's not necessarily validating that they're called,
sure.
But that's a good and a wonderful thing. And God does that in men and will inspire them to want to love the church, to want to preach the gospel. So I think that it also indicates that there's a conversational nature about that aspiration, because it seems, you know, that Paul is telling Timothy that there's some out there, they're going to aspire, and you're going to find out about it. When you find out about it, hey, those desires, that's a noble thing.
That's good.
So there's a surfacing where these things, there needs to be a culture where young men can come and talk about this, and that they're not immediately judged or viewed to be proud or selfishly ambitious simply because they have this desire. I think, you know, in the reform circles, there's always been an understanding of an internal calling and an external calling, an internal confirmation and an external confirmation. So the fact that somebody believes this about themselves is not the full calling, that it has to be affirmed from the outside as well. So I think we can kind of reduce the significance of the moment by just recognizing that somebody's expressing a desire and that desire is a noble thing.
That's really helpful. Yeah, very clear and simple way to think about that, I think. You mentioned the internal call and the external call, and I know that as I've explored this question with students, there have been times where I'm like, yes, this makes a lot of sense. I actually affirm that. There have also been some times where I'm like, maybe you feel it. I don't know that I affirm it at this point. If a student comes to us and says, hey, I think God's calling me to step into vocational ministry, or I think God's calling me to be a pastor, and we don't necessarily have that knee-jerk, yes, this makes sense, how do we handle that?
Yeah, for me, I'm 60, and I find that as I've gotten older, I'm less confident about drawing a conclusion about a man's calling because I just can't see out that far. And so much change can take place in the life of a person through high school and then through, if they're going to go to college, or just in those initial years of employment, a growing up, a growing out. I don't know what it would look like to be in the world of John Piper at the age of 16 or 17. If from the way he describes himself as being the backward kid who's reading poetry, he's not galvanizing students. There's not much that would commend him in the eyes of those around him. And nevertheless, he became like John Piper, such a blessing to the church.
Yes.
And so I think there's a lot of guys out there that don't fit a profile that we can have, where we want to be more careful. Now there are people, and we have to acknowledge this, where they're, you know, just from the fact that their personality creates havoc wherever it goes, where you might think, okay, they're probably not called to lead in God's church through eldership or through pastoral ministry. And I think that's where, again, we can, if they're coming to us, we can affirm the desire, but we can also redefine the object of the pursuit.
That's good.
A lot of deacons and elders do not look dramatically different. And so we tend to relate to everyone as if they should be on an eldership track, but a deacon track is a guy that has an enormous, or a woman who perhaps who has enormous amount of character,
sure.
And yet is called to serve in a different way and in a less public way. And so I think we've got to have an idea of what we're looking for in the diaconate in order to steer people in that direction as well.
That's really helpful, and helpful just in general to say, and this reminds me of the sermon that I preached for our church before coming up to TGC of many members in the body, but there's one body and we're all working together, that there's different callings and yet all are vital to the health of the body. That's really helpful to keep in mind as well.
You know, one of the things you and I were talking about earlier was just how pastors can tend to instinctively react to aspiration.
Yes.
They can immediately assume that aspiration equals selfish ambition or aspiration equals pride. And so they can view that as a moment where they need to tamp down, you know, the desires. And yet when we do that, you know, we end up pouring water on somebody who's bringing information at a vulnerable point that needs to be coaxed forward. And so I think we have to recognize that there's godly ambition. In fact, if we lose ambition, we lose the ability for the church to move forward through the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God works through the ambitions of men and women. Without ambition, you know, there's no church planting. Without ambition, there's no discipleship. Without ambition, civilizations become lazy. And so we have to make sure that we don't denigrate ambition. We want to distinguish between godly ambition and selfish ambition. And when men come expressing their ambitions, our instinct should be to encourage the ambition, or at least walk alongside of them to discern whether it's selfish or whether it's godly, but certainly not immediately assume that it's selfish and begin to relate to them out of that.
It's really helpful. You talk about cultivating both the internal sense of calling and the internal giftedness, and then also giving an opportunity for folks to externally affirm these calls. Let's talk that out and tease that out a little bit more specifically. When we're walking alongside of a student who feels a call to the pastorate or feels a call to just vocational ministry in some sort, what are some of the questions that we can help them process and can ask them? What are some of the environments or exercises that we can expose them to? How can we help young people cultivate and explore this ambition?
Yeah. Well, working from the book, because I built the book around 6 diagnostic questions
Right.
that can be asked. They ask it themselves first, and then they involve other people.
Right.
So are you godly? How is your home? Mm. Can you preach? Do you love the lost? Can you shepherd? And then who agrees? So that who agrees is the last.
Nice.
That's the external validation, the external confirmation. So that's a paradigm that I offer and that I continue to work within to this day. You know, in Great Commission Collective, the church planting network that I lead, we use most of that paradigm for church evaluating church planters, and then we just add, do you feel like family? So that there's that sense of fit that's also being evaluated. So I think that's one paradigm. I think there's other things that also could be included that are more practical, like, you know, do you like to read? Because in order to be an effective leader, an effective pastor, you gotta read to lead, you know? And I think that's a really important one. If we're talking about guys that are still in high school, still in college, I think it's always good to evaluate if they're living at home. How do you relate to your parents? Is there a way of understanding and applying honor to your parents? And you know, that may sound really old school, but learning submission in the context of a home is wonderful training for being able to lead in the context of the church. And let me just mention one other one, and I just think jumping into the local church, ensuring that you're involved in a local church, that you're a member of a local church, that you're serving in the local church, if you want to ultimately plant a local church, build a local church, lead in a local church, what a wonderful opportunity to be involved in a church and to understand what that really means. So I think that's important as well.
Hey, listeners, this is Davis Lacey, podcast producer here at Rooted, and I am so excited to meet you at the annual Rooted Conference this October in Birmingham, Alabama. We want you to join us there. We're going to hear plenary talks from Russell Moore, Trillia Newbell, Tish Harrison Warren, Rebecca McLaughlin, Owen Lee, Cedric Moore, Cameron Cole, and yours truly. We'll also have incredibly practical and helpful workshops led by David Thomas, Alice Chernock, Robbie Holt, Shelby Abbott, and others. If you're a parent or if you're a youth worker, we are excited to welcome you and encourage you as you disciple the teenagers in your life. The conference is in Birmingham, Alabama on October 7th through 9th, and we're anticipating that this will be our biggest conference ever. make sure you save your spot by registering at www.rooted-conference.com. That's rooted-conference.com.
You know, let's say we're walking alongside of a student and they're getting ready to graduate from high school and are asking, God's put this calling on my life. What are my next steps? What do I do? What would you encourage us to say to that student? What would you encourage us not to counsel that student to do?
Well, I would encourage the student to be honest with how they're feeling. So this goes back to 1 Timothy 3. You know, if anyone aspires, he desires a noble thing. There's a conversational nature to the calling. You want to surface those. It's far more humble to take the desires we have and put them into circulation among people we trust and respect than it is to kind of hold on to them and kind of broker them ourselves, or even just, you know, treasure them like Mary did about the, you know, the prophecies and experiences of Jesus. That's not what this is for. We want to put that out because it starts the evaluation process. So I'd say be honest, start talking about it, start serving. If you're in college and or out of college, maybe newly married, just get your house in order and get yourself on a vocational track. So a lot of guys have aspirations for ministry and assume that ministry should be realized right out of high school, right out of college. And actually, the time that men can spend serving fruitfully in a vocation has enormous benefit to their service to the church, to pastoring. And I'll tell you what, just, you know, I know a lot of senior pastors, and I know a lot of guys, when they go to hire, it's not like they're saying, give me the guy right out of college. So they want men who've been in the world, that have served people and had to love people and understood the complexity of life and had to arrive at work every day and built some of those habits that they can then relate to other people when they take a role as a pastor. So I think the vocational track is important as well. Preparing the house, you know, getting out of debt. There's simple things here, but people don't go into ministry for money.
Sure.
And so, you know, if you're going to go into ministry, if you're carrying a lot of debt, it's going to limit your options.
Yes.
And so recognizing that the best way to go into ministry is debt-free can be a really helpful little...
Yes and amen.
Piece of information, yes.
Oh, that's great. Last question I'll ask you, I think it fits well with some of the stuff that you talk about in Am I Called? I have not forgotten, and it's been 8 years, I think, since I've read your book, but I have not forgotten the donut shop mentality of a guy that wants to open up a donut shop. And, you know, the way that we often approach it in ministry is, well, let's send this guy off far away from this local donut shop, and let's make sure that he learns the history of donut making, and let's make sure that he knows how to parse out different types of icing and frosting and cake compositions.
It's yes.
Like, you're already in a donut shop. Like, labor faithfully in the donut shop, right? So this, I think one of the big hearts of your book that I took away is that it's the role of whole churches to affirm and raise up and equip the future leaders of the church. And so as we're thinking about the youngest future budding leaders, it coordinates well with one of Rooted's core values or pillars, which is intergenerational integration, making sure that our young people are not siloed off and not just viewed as the church of tomorrow, but, man, if they're in Christ, they're the church of today, and enfolding them and engrafting them into every aspect of the life of the church. So what does that look like in terms of walking alongside of a young person and helping to advocate for them before the church, but also giving them opportunities to explore their giftedness and calling in the church, even if they're still a teenager?
I would hope there's a vertical dimension where we are committing ourselves to pray. If there's somebody in particular you have in mind that you're working with, or if it's just the next generation that you're burdened for, that's reflected in your prayer life, and that you're crying out to God on behalf of young people and by name, lifting them up to Jesus and asking that Jesus to move them forward. I think developing relationships, listening to burdens, you know, there's a lot of confusion out there. There was a lot of confusion when I was, you know, coming of age, and I can't imagine what it would be like to be coming of age in the internet world. And so I think to be able to have people that are older, that are parents, that are willing to come alongside and listen and respect, you know, build relationships, I think that's a huge value. I think that churches need to be taught that part of the biblical definition of success is to transfer the gospel to the next generation.
Amen.
So it's not simply about us doing our thing, but and we can't guarantee what this church is going to look like five generations from now, but we can pour into children's ministry. We can pour into the youth ministry, and we can come alongside of those that are in college and encourage them, and we can take responsibility for the next generation that is here and now and pour into them. And you know, the things that Paul said to Timothy, the things I've entrusted to you, these entrust the faithful men who will be able to teach others also. That's a next generation vision there, and I think we need to pick that up and carry it as well.
Awesome. Amen. Brother, I've asked you lots of questions. If you had to communicate anything that's been left unsaid at this point, is there a takeaway message or a burden or a heart that you want to express to our listeners who are laboring in the trenches with the next generation?
You know, I think when I was younger, I didn't realize how much I needed Jesus every day, how much I needed the gospel every day. I think when Paul says in 1 Timothy, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. There's something about growing older where you become more and more aware of your sinfulness, but that's not a bad thing because it makes the gospel more precious. It gives you perspective of what it really means that Christ died for our sins, that God came and shed his blood on our behalf. And I feel like I need that more and more each day. And I long to see that same desire and desperation cultivated among younger folk as well. And I love the fact, this is a second thing, but I think, you know, the fact that Jesus was a friend of sinners, that for Jesus, you know, becoming godly didn't move him away from the culture, didn't move him away from sinners, and that actually the strongest words he had were for the Pharisees, were for the religious folks. I think being able to bring those into harmony and seek to cultivate those values in our life will make us effective, but will also make us joyful.
Mm. Amen. Is that the one thing that you wish you knew about Jesus when you were in high school?
It is, yes. Yes, for sure.
We're excited about the book that Rooted will be releasing this fall called The Jesus I Wish I Knew in High School, where many of us are writing basically to our high school selves and to current high school students and saying, I know this about Jesus now, totally missed it in my teenage years, and this is the Jesus
great.
I hope that you know.
I can't wait to see it.
Thank you for sharing that with us.
You're welcome.
This has been an encouraging conversation. It's been fun for me to get to sit down with one of my heroes and say thank you for your time. If folks want to learn more about you and the ministry that you're doing with ministries such as the Great Commission Collective, where can they find you?
So we have a website at greatcommissioncollective.com, gccollective.org,
okay.
I should say.
Okay.
And then also I've got a website where I publish blogs and all of the books that I've written and other material that's sent out regularly at revdaveharvey.com.
Awesome. Brother, thank you so much for your time. Listeners, thank you for listening to this episode of the Rooted Youth Ministry Podcast. If you found this podcast helpful or encouraging, we'd appreciate your help in bringing this grace-filled, gospel-centered, Bible-saturated content to others who might also benefit. Help us serve others by sharing this resource on social media, by leaving us 5-star feedback, or simply by subscribing wherever you listen to your podcasts. For more grace-filled, gospel-centered, Bible-saturated resources, be sure to visit www.rootedministry.com. As always, we give a special thanks to High Street Hymns for providing the music on this podcast. And on behalf of all of us here at Rooted, my name is Davis Lacey. This has been an episode of the Rooted Youth Ministry Podcast.